Hare Krishna. Welcome back to the Mahabharata character series. We are discussing about Bhima now. So Bhima, we discussed about the point of his overpowering Jayadrath and his sparing his life, but then cutting his hair in such a way as to give him punishment which would be equivalent to death. Then, as the final year of the Pandavas approached, then they all decided that they would go to Virat. So the particular entry of the Pandavas into Virat and how they arrived at that plan we discussed while we were talking about Yudhishthir. Now, while they were living in Virat, Bhima became a cook named Vallabha. And along with that, the Draupadi became Shairindri and all the others became different people, as we have discussed earlier. So Yudhishthira became Kanka and Arjuna became Brihanalla, a dance teacher who acted like a eunuch. And then Tantripal and Nakul and Sahadeva became cowherd and horsemen basically. So Granthik and Tantripal. So now, as they were living like this, now Vallabha, Bhima, he was a great eater, but he's not just a great eater also, he alone. He was also a very good cook. And normally it is thought of that cooking is something which only females do. Well, that is true. That is the specialization of females. But the Pandavas were resourceful. And especially where there would be big, where a king's palace is there and where the huge amount of cooking is required. So there, male cooks are also involved. So Bhima, he was a great eater and he was a great cook also. And he became, although he just came in over there, but he was so gifted. And he was, of course, a commanding presence, even if he was acting like a Kshatriya. Even if not acting like a Kshatriya, still he had a commanding presence. So he endeared himself to the king so much that he almost became like a head cook in the kitchens of the palace. And he used to cook. And not only would he cook abundantly, because he was cooking abundantly, he would also get to eat abundantly himself. And not only would he get to eat abundantly himself, he would ensure that his brothers and his wife are also adequately supplied food. Of course, he would do this discreetly because all the Pandavas had entered separately and they had not revealed their mutual relationship to anyone. Because the idea of five brothers and one wife, or just the fact of five brothers coming together, that itself would have been enough to blow up their cover, and then they would not have been able to stay incognito. So the Pandavas did not tell that to anyone, but they would meet discreetly. They had their own five names with Jaya, Vijay, Jayatsena, like that, and they would use those to call each other whenever there's an emergency. So Draupadi was serving as the maid servant of Sudeshna was the king, was the queen of the king of Virat, who was also known as Virat. So was Matsya Raj, he was known as Virat. And at one time there was a wrestling competition, and there was a wrestling competition. There were wrestlers from their local kingdom as well as wrestlers from other kingdom who had come. And there was one wrestler, Jimmuta, who was extremely powerful. And he was from a visiting king, from some other kingdom. And he defeated all the wrestlers of this, of the Matsya Raj. And the kings of king of Matsya, the citizens of Matsya were feeling very morose. It's like, suppose some other cricket team comes to India, British team comes to England team comes to India, and English team defeats India in India. So India will want some batsmen to come and just bat so well that as the English bowlers are just taken to the cleaners and then bring the stores India to its, at least at home. So like that, the Matsya citizens and the Matsya king were feeling mortified, humiliated that here there is this wrestler who's come in our kingdom and he's defeating us. So they looked around, and then now Virat, he was also a shrewd person, the king of Matsya, and he noticed that this cook, Vallabha, he has a powerful body and he can very well be a good wrestler. So he asked him, come and fight. Now Bhima, when he had seen the wrestling arena, he was just eager, almost dying to fight. But he checked himself back because he knew that if he started fighting and showing his prowess, then their cover might get blown up. And they did not want that. But still at the same time now, when the king had given instruction, he could not very well refuse the king's instruction either. So he fought. He fought, but he did not exhibit his full prowess. Because his full prowess, exhibition of his full prowess would have been a dead giveaway. But he still exhibited, with some of his exhibition of some of his prowess, he was able to overcome the wrestlers. And then they fought and fought, and in a short while, Bhima just pounded this wrestler, Jimura, senseless. And then he was declared as the winner. And the king gifted, gave him profuse gifts, and then he asked, is there any other wrestler who would like to challenge Bhima? And seeing the skill and the power of Bhima, nobody came to confront him. And as Bhima reigned supreme in that wrestling arena. And of course, for Bhima, who was the world among the world's most formidable warriors, this was a small victory. But for them who were living incognito, this was quite a sensation. And Vallabha became much loved and much feared among the king in the kingdom of Virata as a champion wrestler. And as they were living like this, now after having lived in the forest, living in the city was relatively easier. It was the capital, although they of course were not exactly living in royal comforts in a palace, nor were they having servants to attend to them. Rather, they were acting as servants. But still, they did not have to live in the forest, literally. And so in that sense, this was not so difficult. The time was passing by. But as the first year was coming towards its end, so at that time, in around the last few months were remaining. So now Shairindri, Draupadi, she was strikingly beautiful. And she knew that her beauty could act as a giveaway. Somebody might suspect that this is Draupadi. Or even if that doesn't happen, somebody might start thinking that she might start having an evil eye towards her and start craving for her. And that could also create trouble. So Draupadi deliberately always maintained a low profile. And she stayed in the palace of Sudeshna, serving her. And she had also made a... When she had joined, at that time also she had requested Sudeshna that I'll serve you. And I had served Draupadi earlier. But please let me not have to serve any man. I'll serve only you. So she would dress and decorate the hair of Sudeshna and offer other services. And Sudeshna was quite pleased with her. But one day, Sudeshna's brother, Kichaka, came to meet her. And as he was sitting in her palace, and Draupadi was just walking by, and just seeing Draupadi, Kichaka lost his sense. Was captivated by her grace, her beauty, lost his senses over there. And he asked Draupadi, he asked his sister, who is this? He says, I have never seen any woman as beautiful as this one. Who is this? Tell me. And he says, oh, she's a Sairindri. And she has been serving me. He says, what is she doing as a maid servant? She is so beautiful. He says, I want her as my queen. He says, you send her to me. He says, no. He says, she's already married. And she has got... So now, at that time, before Sudeshna could discourage, without paying any attention to her, Kichaka himself went up to Draupadi, to Shairindri, and he said, oh, beautiful one, what are you doing here serving as a maid servant? You know, seeing your beauty, I have lost my heart to you. Come with me, and I will dress you in the most beautiful dresses and ornaments, and you will have nothing lacking. So, Draupadi was mortified to hear these words, still knowing that at this point she had to play the role of a maid servant. She contained the anger that had blazed in her. And she said, O prince, you know, I belong to the fallen Sharendri caste and the honor that you offer me, I am not worthy of it. And moreover, I am already married and I have 5 Gandharva husbands. And therefore, kindly, do not entertain such thoughts about me. Now, Kichaka had gone so, become so depraved by lust that he just couldn't think about anything else. He says, no. He says, don't bother about such things. He says, I want you and you should be with me. Why do you want to waste your life as a maid servant? As he was trying to woo Draupadi like this, Draupadi or Sharendri over here, she said, no, O prince, I am completely devoted to my husbands and no one can deviate me from them. And saying this, she left there quickly. Now, Kichak was in a uniquely privileged position in the kingdom. The king Virat, although he had been a formidable warrior in his youth, he was now aging. And he was not really such a big warrior now. And his sons had not yet become formidable warriors. So the main protector of Virat was Kichaka. And so, in effect, although Virat was sat on the throne, Kichaka had most of the power. And therefore, he had always got his way. He just approached women and women fell at his feet. And now, to have himself so firmly rebuffed by a woman, he was shocked. And then he turned towards Sudeshna and he said, you know, you must arrange for her to come to me. He says, no, you know, there are so many other women. If you, you know, if she is saying, no, why do you want to pursue her? He says, no, I cannot live without her. Now, this is the nature of illusion, that one starts feeling that something is, even without considering whether it is right or wrong, whether it is religious or irreligious, one starts just getting, starts craving for that. So that's what happened to him. And he said, you must arrange for her to be sent to me. So Sudeshna, having caring pity on her brother, seeing his extremely craving condition, she agreed. A few days later, she said, she called Sharendri and he said, oh Sharendri, I am extremely thirsty. My brother Kichaka has got some special wines. So please go to his palace and get the wines quickly. So Sharendri was dismayed, horrified. She said, oh queen, please don't send me to that wretched man's palace. You saw in front of your own eyes how he was eyeing me in an evil way. If I have to go into his palace, he will no doubt try to outrage me. And you had promised me that I wouldn't have to serve any man. Please excuse me. So Sharendri brushed aside. So Sudeshna brushed aside Sharendri's objections. And she said that, don't worry. Since you are going from the royal palace, Sudeshna, he will have to offer you all honor. And I am very thirsty. There is no one else to go right now. You please go quickly and bring her. Bring the wines for me. So, a fearful heart, praying to the devatas and praying to Krishna, Draupadi, she went to the palace of Kichaka. And when she approached Kichaka, Kichaka's eyes lit up. You know, ever since he had seen Draupadi, he had been able to think of little else. And when he finally saw this beautiful, dark complexion lady coming into his palace, he thought that somehow Sudeshna had persuaded her and now she was coming to offer herself. He says, welcome, welcome. I have been waiting for you for so long. Now this whole palace will be yours and you will be the mistress of this palace. And let us come out together. So Draupadi is seeing his unconcealed lustiness, flinched internally, and she became enraged. But containing her fury, she said, "O prince, the queen has sent me to ask for some wines. She is thirsty, and I have to take the wines back. Kindly tell me where the wines are, and give me leave." So he just caught hold of Draupadi and he said that, let somebody else take the wine. You stay with me. So Draupadi tried to pull away from her. Held her firmly. And Draupadi, realizing that she was in danger, she pushed even more firmly. And she slipped away from his grip. And she started running. She ran out of the palace. And Kichaka ran after her. And Draupadi, realizing that she had no protector, she ran straight to the king's palace and into the king's assembly. And she ran to the king's assembly and begged for protection. And this was second time. Draupadi, first time, Asad Sabhaya. First time she had come to the assembly of the Kurus. And that time she had begged for protection. At that time she had been dragged in the assembly to be dishonored and disrobed. Now, this time, she had run into the assembly for protection and again she would be disappointed. Again her mortification would continue. So, just before, as Draupadi had been going toward the palace of Kichaka, she had looked up at Surya and she had prayed, please, please protect me. So at that time Surya, seeing her fervent prayers, now Suryadev was the father of Karna, and in that sense he had some affinity towards Karna, but he was also he was not demoniac, you know, he's a devta, and in fact he's one of the devtas through whom the knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita also comes. Mam vivasvate yogam proktamanam vivasvan manave praha manurikshvakave bravit. So Krishna tells in 4.1 in the Gita that I give this knowledge to sun god. Sun god is a very enlightened person. He's also the guru of Hanumanji. So he's also the person who gave the Akshay Patra to Yudhishthira Maharaj, and Draupadi was using the Akshay Patra, so she knew that it had come from the blessings of Suryadev. So she prayed to Suryadev, and Suryadev, seeing her fervent prayer and her desperate situation, he appointed Rakshasa to invisibly guard Draupadi. So as Draupadi ran into the palace, Kichaka ran after her, and Kichaka caught her, and as she fell, just to humiliate her further, Kichaka kicked her. Now Kichaka had been rebuffed twice by Draupadi, and he had to run publicly, and he felt enraged, and he just kicked her publicly again in the assembly. And at that time, Yudhishthira was like the minister Kanka for Virat, so he was there in the palace, in the assembly, in the court of the king, and somehow at that time for some other work, Vallabha had also come. Now, when Bhima, as Vallabha saw Draupadi being manhandled like this, his rage knew no bounds. Now, this was again like the same scene being reenacted. The way Dushasana had dishonored Draupadi, something similar was happening here. And he started grinding his teeth, and his fist started piercing into his own, his fingernails started piercing into his own palms as he clenched his fist, and flame started coming from his body, and he looked as if he would just pounce upon Kichaka and pound him to death. So seeing Bhima getting angry, Kanka turned towards Vallabha and he said, oh cook, it is best that you go back to the kitchen. I am sure you must be having a lot of work over there. And realizing that Bhima would not be able to control his temper in the situation, and he did not want to aggravate situations, Yudhishthira had to be very careful, had to do a very careful balancing act, knowing that actually if their cowherd was exposed, then they would again have to go to the forest. So Yudhishthira felt that in a public assembly, much further things won't happen. So there was no need to aggravate the situation. So he told Bhima to depart. Now Bhima walked, but as he was walking out of the court, his eyes were fixed on Kichaka. And as Kichaka came again to catch Draupadi and humiliate her, at that time suddenly Rakshasa, who had been appointed by Surya to protect Draupadi, hit her. The Rakshasa was invisible, and as he hit Kichaka, Kichaka fell on the ground, And we stand and we look around. Who has hit me? There was no one either. Who has the audacity to hit me in my own kingdom? And he couldn't see anyone. He was amazed. And as he got up, and Draupadi started begging. She said, "Oh, king, you know, oh, right in front of your eyes, you know, I, who am a chaste wife of 5 glorious husbands, have been humiliated. I, whose husbands are so powerful that if they desired, they could destroy the whole world. I have been humiliated. I, whose husbands are so glorious that they are respected even by the sages. Now, their own wife is being disrespected like this. O king, in your own assembly, such great injustice is happening, and you are sitting here passively watching it and not doing anything. How unfortunate this is." Now, Virata knew that he could not alienate Kichika. So he said, "Oh, Shailendra, I do not know the full details of the quarrel between you and Kichika. So how do you expect me to pass judgment without knowing all the details?" And Kichika grinned wickedly with a devilish look on his face. He knew that Virata would never go against him. And Draupadi looked at Yudhishthira, and then she looked at Bhima, who was now going out. All this is happening, and Draupadi realized that Yudhishthira did not want their cover to be abandoned right now. And then Yudhishthira turned towards Draupadi and he said that, "Oh, Shailendra, it is best that you go back to your palace now, and your husbands do not, it is probable that your husbands do not think this is the right time to exhibit their prowess. But rest assured that when the time comes, they will surely set things right and you will be protected. You have better depart now." Now, Draupadi, she had expected that Kichika would be punished for the kind of humiliation, for kicking her, for trying to force himself on her, and even before that for suggesting that she be unchaste. But when none of them had happened and she had been kicked in public, she had actually spoken firmly, strongly. But although some of the courtiers in the assembly had praised Draupadi, and she says, "Draupadi is a pious, and Shailendra is a chaste and pious lady. And by molesting her, Kichika has committed a grave sin and he should be punished for this." But when the king did not do anything, they also became silent. And then, with her head lowered down, crestfallen, humiliated, Draupadi left from there. And Kichika, with a gloating look on his face, he also left. As Draupadi went back to her palace, to the palace of Sudeshna, and Sudeshna saw the mark of the kick on her body, the way her clothes were disheveled, her hair had become disheveled, and he said, "What happened?" And he told, "You know, you sent me to your brother and he molested me." So he said, "That wretched person," he said, "you know, you just order me and I will have him punished for this." So Draupadi, she said, "My husbands will take care of him." And saying this, she excused herself and she went and started bathing. She wanted to purify herself of the evil touch of Kichika. And as she departed from there, and she started complaining, she was contemplating now, and she realized that there would be no one who could check Kichika unless she took matters in her own hand, and she provoked the most powerful of her protectors, that was Bhima, Arjuna. Arjuna was of course acting as Brihanallah, you know, and he could not directly act for her protection at this stage. So now Kichika had shown her publicly that there was nobody in the kingdom who would oppose her. So she decided to approach Bhima. So now that night, secretly she left from her chambers and went to the place where the cooks were staying. And there Bhima had his own chamber and he was snoring loudly, sleeping at night. And Draupadi opened the door, she went inside and she fell on Bhima and she embraced him and started crying. "Oh, great warrior, how can you sleep like one who is dead when those who are living and who need your protection are in a situation where they might suffer humiliation worse than death?" oh, wake up and please protect me. Bhima woke up and he saw Draupadi's tear-stained face in front of her and he asked, oh, Draupadi, oh, Panchali, what is the matter with you? What is your, what is it that anguishes you so much? And tell me and I will do all that is in my power to remove your grief. And Draupadi, she did not speak anything. And Bhima understood. Oh, it is the humiliation that happened today in the palace. He says, I would have destroyed Kichaka right in the forest, in the assembly itself. But Yudhishthira stopped me, he said. So now Draupadi, although she was always faithful to her, to Yudhishthira, still she felt so anguished over here. He said, you know, how can things be well with me as long as Yudhishthira is in a situation where he has gambled away everything, he has nothing, and he does not offer protection also. So Bhima consoled Draupadi and he says, do not speak evil about Yudhishthira. He says, he is only acting according to dharma. Just wait for just a few more weeks now. Then our incognito period will be over and then you will be reinstated in the position as a queen where you belong, that which is your rightfully your position. Draupadi started sobbing in the arms of Bhima and she said, I don't think I'll be able to survive for so long. He said that Kichaka, now that he has seen that nobody is going to stop him, will surely approach me and he will force himself on me. And when my modesty is violated, I will give up my life. And then you and your brothers, you will have committed a great sin for not having protected your wife. You know, greater than any other virtue for a husband is the virtue of protecting her, protecting his wife. So, he says, I cannot live anymore thinking about what Kichaka will do again. So, seeing Draupadi's misery and realizing the extent of her sorrow, Bhima felt hot tears coming from his eyes. And he says, fie upon my arms! These arms which can pound elephants and giant trees to pieces, now they are rendered helpless, not being allowed to bend their fury against those who are offending my wife. And Draupadi says, she was also crying and she said, no, listen, no, such is my misery. It is not that for myself I suffer, although I have to work hard like a maid servant. And although my hands now have calluses, and as Bhima looked at her hands and saw her tender hand, which had she had lived as a princess in comfort throughout her life, and seeing her heart, his anger and his grief increased all the more. And Draupadi said, but this is not what causes me the greatest grief. He says, when I see Arjuna, who is the greatest of all Kshatriyas, acting like a dance teacher, acting as a eunuch, you know, my heart's pain knows no limits. And when I saw Yudhishthira having to act like a servant of the king, my heart's grief overflows. And when I saw you acting like a wrestler for the entertainment of the king and his queens and the royal ladies, and as you fought with the wrestlers and you defeated them and they laughed, I felt my sorrow know no bounds. And as you were fighting was going on, the fighting became fierce. In an anxiety, I fainted. And then Sudeshna, when I came back to consciousness, sprinkled water on me and she said, you know, is it that you have a crush on Vallabha? I noticed that you are both of you are of similar age and both of you came more or less at the same time. And in this way, she teased me. Oh, I cannot tolerate this life anymore. So then Bhima resolved on hearing this that you know, he would have to take matters in his own hands. Things had gone beyond the point of tolerance. And he immediately made a plan. He said that I will arrange in such a way that Yudhishthira's purpose of ensuring that our identity not be revealed, that is taken care of, and also your purpose that you be protected and Kichaka be punished, that also be taken care of. Listen carefully, my plan now, and your desire will be fulfilled. So what that plan was and how Bhima punished Chikichaka, that we will discuss in our next session. Thank you. Hare.